Amen. Amen. We've been doing a series on the person of the Holy Spirit, and the boundaries that were very specific is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is discussed and recognized by so many different groups, but many times overlooked or misunderstood. He's been defined as a goosebump, a shout, a praise. He's been defined as a prayer language, a fruit. He's been defined as a dove, a wind, and they miss out on the reality. I mean, you can go to almost any Christian or Protestant places and find them referring to the Holy Spirit, but really don't know who he is. Could it be possible that the Holy Spirit is more than an inanimate object? Could it be possible that the Holy Spirit is more than just a breeze or wind? Could it be possible that he is more than just an idea back in the early day church? For as John, the Bible says, as John baptized with water unto repentance, Jesus would be the baptizer of the Holy Spirit with power. Now, with any truth, and this has just been our rhythm on so many different topics, because I've always noticed that it's very interesting that when it comes to truth, it's like a road. And people will try to take that truth to extremes. And when you take truths out of balance or to the extreme, that's when you find yourself getting into the ditch of life. And so it's important that as we study the Word of God that we stay in the center of the road, amen? And so we're not defining or talking about the person of the Holy Spirit based on a novel we read, based on an emotional experience we had, based on a movie we saw. We're going to look at what the Word of God says. And it's evidently he is very important. He just didn't show up in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, he's referred to the word as the Ruach, the breath of God. He was at the very beginning in Genesis 1. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters of the deep. He's been throughout. He's the one that was the anointing on the king and the priest and the prophet in the Old Testament. And Jesus, although he could be on the ministry of a few, he could not be within the hearts of man. Why? Because of the decision of Adam, who chose to sin, which created a veil, a wall, if you will, separating us from the presence of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil that was in the most holy place, the Bible says it was ripped from top to bottom, not bottom to top, symbolizing that God now had access, and we have access to the presence of God. For the Bible says we go to the throne, we go to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. There's no competition amongst the Trinity or the existence of God, but we go to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Jesus is the doorway, he said it himself. But he said, it is to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Father won't send the comforter, the paraclete in the Greek. He won't send the standby, the one who will be just like me that will take my place. Why? Because Jesus could only be physically in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit can be in all of us simultaneously. Amen. And so we have to move beyond the things that we have seen in movies or novels, or sometimes, I'll be frank, I'm very transparent. Sometimes the things we've seen in the church, because sometimes good people, out of just a right heart desire, but not the balance of the Word of God, can misconstrue the person of the Holy Spirit, and they'll say or do things that's out of alignment with the Word of God. And it's important for us. We need both. We need the Word, and we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, the Bible says this, that the Word without the Spirit brings death. So we need the Word, but we need the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We need the Spirit, but we also need the Word.
Amen.
I like to think of it this way. It's like the combination of a bottle rocket. Have you ever, July's coming up. Start buying now. Have you ever seen a bottle rocket and people use and light bottle rockets? Well, there's a stick and then there's the bottle rocket. When you light it, it takes off, goes far, goes high, and then explodes. If you remove that combination, you have problems. If you don't have any firepower, if you will, and you just have a stick, you're not going anywhere. It's not going to do anything. Unless you want to put it in your teeth and pull some, I guess, toothpick, giant toothpick. It's wood. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not doing anything. But if you have the firepower without the stick and you light that, we used to do that when we were kids. Some of the stuff we did as kids, it's amazing. See, some people talk about a guardian angel. I know I had a guardian angel because I watched him work every day. Come on, somebody. Light a firecracker, light a bottle rocket without the stick. What does it do? It goes everywhere. And boom. And you don't know where it's going. See, that's the extremity in the church. Some people go so to the extreme and saying, it's only the word. We're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't want to hear about the Holy Spirit. That was just for the early church. And not, we're going to just be on the word. And you know what you see in their life? Those people are good people, love God, going to heaven. But they are missing out on the life of God, the presence of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost. They find themselves so entrenched in tradition. And Jesus said, your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. So they see no power. They expect God. They don't expect God to do anything. They are just very left brain and mindset, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. People on the other extreme, they're like, oh, I don't need to read the Bible. I got the Holy Ghost. He'll just guide and direct me. And those people, they are flaky as all get out. They are nutty. They're like a great fiber cereal. They got fruits, nuts, and flakes all in one bowl. They're out there. Amen. It's like they can do anything goes. The Holy Spirit told me to quit my job. Well, how are you going to pay bills? I don't know. I'm going to trust the Holy. You got 7 kids at home. You better know how you're going to pay those bills. Oh, the Lord told me to leave. The Lord didn't tell you to leave. You got chewed out and you're offended and now you don't want to deal with it because you've been late for the last 5 days. See, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll reverse engineer it and we'll do something for a different reason and then we'll blame the Holy Spirit on it. The Lord's leading me to, I need to go here. Well, maybe it's not the Holy Spirit. What scripture did he give you? See, if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you that way, then he can speak to you and give you the scripture because he wrote the Bible. But a lot of times what we do is we get confused, and it's understandable because we have to grow through the process, through the word, because the Holy Spirit will never lead you out of the parameters of the word of God. He won't lead you to divorce your spouse and marry somebody else. Oh, but we pray. I know it's wrong, but we pray together and we read the Bible and the Lord's speaking. The Lord's not speaking to you. That's not Jesus talking to you. You're being led by a different spirit. And that's how the devil operates because he's a deceiver. He'll even appear as an angel of light. It's nice to say, oh, I'm being led by the Spirit. When for some people, it's just, I don't want anybody to tell me I'm wrong. I just want to do what I want to do. And I'm going to throw and cast off order and constraint. And it's not that you need people controlling you. You don't. At Hope Church, that's not our culture. We want you in the driver's seat of your life, following the Word of God and following the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. But we have to learn to discern the difference between the leading of the Holy Spirit and our emotions and our feelings. The soul part of us. The soul part of us, which is our mind, will, and emotions. Or the physical part of us, which is the physical body. All of them can be speaking to you. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, yeah, you don't believe that your physical body has a voice? Go on a fast. Go on a 3-day fast. And with 30 minutes of your 3-day fast, you're going to know the voice of your physical body, the appetite. It's going to be saying, why are we doing this? This is the dumbest thing. You don't need to do this. God loves you anyway. Why don't we just look at that cheeseburger you just passed? You just missed that. Or your soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And that's why the Bible says the word is so important because it's sharper than any two-edged sword, separating, dividing the soul and the spirit. Oh, I'm anointed. Praise God, you're anointed. But if you're in adultery, you're wrong. You think I'm making this up. I've dealt with people who thought they were gifted and they were anointed and they thought their gifting and anointing was okay to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Right. Like Samson, They thought they can get by with it because they could shake themselves and they would have that gift. But the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, the Bible says. So the word will separate, divide us, and help us define, because there's many times we've all thought, ooh, I got to have, this is a God thing. This is so a God thing, preacher. Pastor, this is a God thing. But you can't afford that car. But God will provide. Well, maybe it's not God telling you to buy that $200,000 car. Come on, somebody. While you're still looking for a job. Maybe that's the soulish part of you, your emotions that are being tugged toward that. Oh, pastor, he's from God. Now, you pray, God, I want to get married. And all of a sudden, do you know when you pray and ask God and you do it out loud, the devil can hear that too? And just because you prayed and asked God for something, if you're not specific, you know, some of us are general prayers. That's a dangerous thing. Oh, God, I need a new car. And next thing you know, you're at work and your friend comes to you and say, hey, I'm looking to sell my car. You nobody interested? And you think, oh, my God, the Lord has worked this out. Maybe not. They're like, I'll give them a great deal. They're giving a great deal because it's about to break down. See, the devil can try to slide in something right before God's bringing the right thing in. Oh, God, it's time. I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to put singleness behind me. I want to have a family. Oh, God, I want to get married. And someone shows up. Ooh, this must be God. Maybe. Maybe not. Am I talking to anybody today? But I love them. I love them. Oh, when I get around them, they make my heart flutter. I can't even breathe. I just want to be with them all the time. You say that now because you're just trying to date them. Come on, somebody. That could be your emotions. But I love them. Pastor, I love them. I know it's of God. They're married and got four kids. You don't love them that much. That is not of God. Well, they said they're just not understood. Yeah, that's a good line. Everybody's used that at one time or another. They don't understand me. The Holy Spirit can guide us and direct us. He'll guide and direct us in truth. He's not to be toyed with, manipulated with. And is it possible that he is a real person? The Bible says that he's the down payment. So we're going to work with the context of balance. Say balance. Because we need the word. You got the Holy Ghost, and you can pray in tongues, and you can be prophesying, and you can feel the goosebumps, and you can shout, and you can even lay hands on the sick and see them recover. All that's awesome, but if you don't have the word, the devil can pull you away. The word keeps us anchored and focused. Never let your gifting define if you're accurate. History has proven there has been a lot of people in full-time ministry successful and gifted. And they thought their success and their gifting determined the approval of God. And God wants you to be successful. Don't misunderstand me. But what do you say to someone who's gifted and successful and then starts doing things that are not right? That before they knew wasn't right, but now they thought, oh, I wonder God will leave me. Oh, he's still with me. He didn't kill me. And the devil entices them away, Matthew 13. Dangerous place. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, but we also need the Word. Amen. They come together in the covenant of the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. So challenge everything. I guess the point is challenge everything with the Word of God. And that was all intro. And right now, if you're a guest, you're probably thinking, OMG, how long are they going to go today? Not long, but that was intro. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus over this house today. We invite your presence here as you prayed through Paul for the church of Ephesus in chapter 1. Father, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the anointing of wisdom and revelation would rest upon this house, that the eyes of all of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know. Open our eyes to learn something today, not just from an idea of a person, but from heaven. Speak to our hearts. Help us to receive it, that it may produce fruit, that we would receive understanding in our heart, and it would produce fruit, produce faith that produces results, that our lives will never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about different descriptions, directions, identifying the person of the Holy Spirit. He is so relevant. He is so relevant to every generation. You know, it's the desire of every pastor of every church to try to speak and communicate in a relevant way. And it's interestingly enough that it's that most of the times in the pursuit of relevance, we look for carnality instead of looking for relevance that comes from God. Yeah, it's important to know what's happening in the world. It's important to bring in context, either political or sports or economics. But at the end of the day, the church many times, in some circles, we have pulled the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, out of it, thinking that his presence would be irrelevant. But without the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in our lives, the Bible says you can't even love God without the Holy Spirit. Right. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a guest with this, we give you anonymity, but just some of our weekly ground rules around here is, one, I'm not into religion, and I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Secondly, another ground rule we have is everything needs to be challenged by the Word of God. No matter if I say it, somebody on TV says it, somebody with a huge following says it. And when it comes to the things of the spirit person, the things of God, the Word of God, challenge everything. I don't look at things that are innocent until proven guilty. I look at everything as guilty until proven innocent. Challenge it. If you don't like something that's being said, put it on the back burner. And this week, go to the Word and say, Lord, show me. Don't just say, I don't believe that. That's not the way I was taught. And leave it, because you could miss out. Because I don't know about you, but I basically can say with confidence, Jesus is the only perfect one. The rest of us, we have some room for growth. Can I get an amen? And if your neighbor didn't amen, just poke them real quick and get something out of them. And they might get mad and say, see, you got room for growth too. We're all learning. No matter what you know, there's room for growth, room for learning, room for understanding. And so the Holy Spirit, let's get back to this, Luke 24. The Holy Spirit is our source of power. And this is in every facet. We know in the New Testament it refers to the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's the result of God's presence in your life. We know in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit. That's a demonstration empowering us to have victory in our life. Jesus waited for the person of the Holy Spirit to come upon him before he started ministry. Jesus, the Son of God, Hebrews 1, the divine expression of God, the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus was the expression, came from the Father. He was the Word, John 1:1 and verse 14. He himself waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon him before he started his ministry. If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, you and I need the Holy Spirit in our everyday life, just not on Sundays, but in our destiny, in our direction of life. Because you have a purpose. I don't care what your career is. Your career is not your final destiny. You have a destiny from heaven. It doesn't mean full-time ministry. God didn't call everybody to be in full-time ministries. Right. If God didn't call you to be in full-time ministry, let me help you out. You don't want to be there. Right. If God didn't call you there, because when he calls you, he equips you. He gives you the grace, the ability. Amen. Without that, it becomes a burden for you. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus waited for the Holy Spirit. We can't even love God without the Holy Spirit. I just want to be able to love God. I want to serve God. I just want to have that word come alive to me. Guess what? You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with, talk to me, church, fills you with power from heaven. Fills you with power. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll go through these quickly to get to our thought. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, amplified. May he, being God, may God grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized. I like this translation. To be strengthened, King James says, be strengthened with might. To be strengthened and spiritually energized with power. Say with power. Through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality. So let me just start with this first thought. God does not want you to be weak. He wants you to be powerful. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So God does not want you to be weak. He wants you to be strong. I mean, even the Bible says, those who are weak, let them say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. God wants, say with me, church. God, see, if you work with me, I can get you out by the buffet time opening. I'm telling you, I can talk fast. I don't know if buffets even exist. Do they exist anymore? Or did COVID, some of you are like, they do. I was just at one yesterday. I thought maybe COVID wiped all those out. Say, my God wants me to be strong, not weak. Come on, say again. Say, my God wants me to be strong and not weak. Let's do it one more time so it gets in some of your spirits that hasn't got there yet. Say, my God. Wow, you guys are like awesome. Say, my God wants me to be strong. Come on, dear. Say, be strong and not weak. Give yourself a hand clap for that. That was powerful. Strength does not demonstrate itself by being weird. Though there's a lot of weird people in the church world, we understand that. We just love them, pray for them, and hope Jesus gets that out of them. And then if he asks us to, we might knock them around a few times. Come on, somebody. And I'm joking. But a demonstration being strong in the Lord does not mean you're weird. Doesn't mean you squint your eyes. Doesn't mean your tone of your voice changes. Doesn't mean you act like somebody else. I've seen people, and again, it's just, we all go through this. I've gone through this. Because we will tend to emulate somebody we respect. But I've seen people who emulated someone who was in their 80s and 90s that should be respected. And Paul tells us, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. So there is a certain natural thing. I'm observing someone's ministry. I'm listening to their ministry. And you might pick up on certain characteristics. But if you're walking around like a 90-year-old man because that's your mentor, maybe you've adopted the wrong thing. God doesn't want you to walk like that, man. You're 25. He's 90. You don't need to be shuffling your feet. There's nothing spiritual about that. Right? And so learning to relax within your own identity of style is so important. Because sometimes we try to work up something to get ourselves to be something we're not, so God will anoint. No, for you to be anointed, you just got to lay your life down and say, Lord, I'm available for you to use me today. And your style, if you're loud, be loud. If you're quiet, be quiet. Whatever it is, you just relax in the reality that it's not you, it's him. Right. But you got to make yourself available. Amen. Does that help anybody today? Yeah. Because I know we've grown up and say, man, that person is so anointed. And we'll start carrying on their characteristics, thinking that the anointing comes because of their style. But it's not their style. It's their spirit person. Catch the heart of the person. God said, David is a man after my own heart. Get a heart for the presence of God. A heart for the word of God. Not copying people's style. Because if you copy their style, you might look like somebody who's anointed. But all you are is a bad copy of someone who's anointed. Right. We don't want your genuine uniqueness is what is the key characteristic of you being used by God. Man, when we emulate people, look throughout Scripture. It doesn't matter Old Testament or New Testament. God would do stuff they hadn't seen before. Most of us, if we get success in one area, our goal is to remember what we did, almost like a scientific experiment, so that we can keep repeating this, and we'll build a whole ministry on the pattern of one past success. Jesus never did that. Sometimes he would take someone who's blind and spit in their eye, and they'd get healed. Sometimes he would put mud in their eye, and sometimes he'd call them out. Sometimes he would touch them. Sometimes, you know, we can get so caught up in methods and miss out on what God wants to do today. Well, I did. This is what everybody expects. It's okay. That's what they can expect. But people can handle disappointment. What is God speaking to your heart to do? that's in alignment with the word. Because he is your source of power. Not based on style or method, but based out of obedience. It might not be like anything you've ever seen anybody do, but if God asks you to do it, just simply obey. Amen. If he says, pour water on the sacrifice and watch fire come down. If he says, build an ark that I can put a bunch of animals in. When Noah did that, it had never rained before. It had never rained in the history of humanity. It had never rained from heaven. And he's building an ark so that he can float the animals because of the rain that they've never seen before. Talk about faith. But God likes doing it that way. Why? So that you know and everybody else knows that when he comes through, it was all about him and not about us. We're just available. It's like a hose. We're just letting the water flow. The hose can't say, look at me, look at me. No. We just got rid of everything that's clogging the hose and we're just letting the water flow. Amen? May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, energized with power through his spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality. The presence of God, the person of the Holy Spirit. I think one thing that has freed me is learning in my own life. And again, no one's perfect and I'm always learning. I mean, if you have any questions about that, you can talk to my family afterwards and they will confirm if I am not perfect and I'm learning. But not being pressured to do stuff just because someone's wanting you to do it. Yeah. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. And it's not about hearing voices. If you're looking for voices when you first start this, can God speak to you by the Spirit of God in your spirit where it sounds like a person speaking to you? Absolutely. But you don't start off that way. You start off by studying the Word, because if you can't obey the written Word of God, you'll never obey the spoken Word of God. And if you don't know the written Word of God, looking for the spoken Word of God can mess you up, because the devil can show up as an angel of light and bring confusion. Right. Can I get an amen to that? One of the purposes of God's power in our life is to empower you to do something. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power. I love this Amplified translation. And with great power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power. Power, not just some power, not just a power, but with great. I'll even change it a little bit, with the greatest power. Yeah. There is no power greater than God's power. Amen. There is no power greater than God's power. Right. Now, we might not have seen the demonstration or expression of all of God can do in our life or wants to do, but it's not God's fault. He's all powerful. Did you hear me? It cannot be measured. Right. He moves his finger, he can melt a mountain. When Jesus was on the earth, there was no debate with demons. They would come crying. They'd come running and said, "Have you come? We know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come before the time to torment us?" Now, again, I'm going to give some scriptures on the screen. Some I'm going to reference and quote, and some I'm just going to quote without the reference. I do that on purpose because if you have any questions or a curiosity, I want you to challenge it in your own time. Jot it down. Search it out. But they'd come to Jesus and say, "We know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come before the time to torment us?" Why? Because when Jesus showed up, he was anointed without measure, the Bible says. And because he was anointed without measure, that means he had the greatest power. So when he showed up, there was no question. Come on. It's like if, for those of you who've ever been in the gym, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. It is what it is. That was funny. If you didn't get that, that was funny. I'm going to laugh later about that. Then I'm going to get in trouble by somebody, but then I'm going to laugh again. If you've ever been in the gym lifting weights, it's the funniest thing. You know, guys, especially with men, their egos come out when they're in the gym. Put a bunch of guys with some weights and some mirrors, and it's all over. It's just a mess. We're just a mess. And I've been in the gym working out, and there's some guys, and they were good shape. They, you know what I mean? They're wearing their barely T-shirt ripped up. So they can look at their muscles as they stared at themselves and taking pictures of themselves posing. And then, I mean, they're just so proud of themselves. They look like the biggest guy in the gym. And all of a sudden, a professional athlete comes in who's massive You know what happens to the ego of a guy who thought he was the biggest guy in the gym and just found out that he's 100 pounds short of muscle? Come on, somebody. I mean, he thought he was ripped, and all of a sudden this other guy comes in who's massive and ripped and professional, and guess what? The one with the confidence just got put in place. I've seen it happen. Just laugh. Never happened to me. Come on, somebody. That's funny, too. Dr. Rob, they don't believe us, do they? Okay. And so... Let's see. You know, I have in my house a trophy of Mr. St. Louis 1989 bodybuilding. I do. Had to buy it, but it was, I got it. It doesn't matter what you, any way you can get that trophy. I'll walk by that trophy. You go. Okay, back to it. I don't even know where I was at. I'm just happy to be here with you all. So all of a sudden when somebody stronger shows up, then the ones who thought they were confident, arrogant, and thought they were strong begin to shut up. Now you say, where's that in the Bible? Jesus said, a strong man is secure in his possessions until a stronger than he shows up. And this was after he delivered a person from demonic powers. And he said, if I do this by the finger of God, representing the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is at hand. So the kingdom of God is just not a place of heaven we're going to. The kingdom of God can be on the earth. Jesus told us to pray that way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the kingdom of God, there's authority, there's power, there's strength. And in God's kingdom, it's the greatest power. So when Jesus showed up by the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, even the strong man, that demon who had that person bound, had to bow its knee because it recognized there was a stronger power. And when Jesus said go, there was not a debate. It wasn't a fight. He was going. Are you listening to me? God didn't tell us just to be subdued by the enemy or the elements or the problems of life or the situations or the things that the world throws at us. No, he wants us to rise above and be in the authority that the kingdom of God is available to us. He wants us to pray in a way that God gives us that anointing, the authority, the kingdom of heaven, because it's one of the things that I believe that God wants us to do is begin to manifest or demonstrate the kingdom of heaven on this earth. It's one thing to say Jesus is alive. It's another thing to say, oh, you're blind, let me pray for you. Now Jesus is alive. It's one thing to say Jesus can heal or Jesus is powerful. It's another thing to find somebody who's in depression and shake their hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I speak peace into your life, and their life is changed immediately. Why? Because when you understand who the Holy Spirit is, when you're walking in that, you can recognize, look for the opportunity that if God asks you to pray for somebody, he didn't ask you to pray for them out of your ability or your rank. He's asking you to find and recognize that it's not about you, it's all about him. The Bible says it is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me, and the faith in the life that I live by faith in the Son of God. It's about the righteousness of God in you, which means you become an ambassador, a representative, as if Jesus was here. So when God speaks to your heart by the Spirit of God and says, pray for that person, he's not asking you to pray for them so that you can heal him. He's asking you to obey him so that he can heal him through you to demonstrate God's kingdom on this earth. Because it is a great power available to us. Ephesians 1, we started that in our prayer, that you might know one of the things that God wants you to know, the exceeding greatness of his power available to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up on high, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion. Whatever thing that has a name must bow its knee. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. It's not about you. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about bringing the aroma of the knowledge of the goodness of God into every place. That's what the Bible tells us, that God wants us to be victorious so that wherever we go, we can demonstrate the goodness of God. Some of us as Christians, all we do is demonstrate the evil of the enemy. All we do is talk about, oh, the devil's, I got the devil on the run. He's been chasing me all week. That's not the running that God had in mind. The Bible says, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I know I'm talking to people that have come to a place in your life that you say, enough is enough. I'm tired of hiding from the devil. I'm tired of running from the devil. It's time to wake up and rise up in who God called you to be. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's time to put the devil that's been attacking you, bind him, and send him out the door. Tell him, you don't even get time to pack, because what you brought in, I'm going to take. Jesus said, when you bind a strong man, you can take his goods. It's time to wake up and say, listen, when the enemy's attacking you, don't cry and say, why me? Say, okay, God, promotion time is coming because you didn't send him. But when the enemy shows up, you have authority, Matthew 18:18, to bind and loose, which means you have authority to say, I will not tolerate this. And when the storm is over, I'm not only going to be standing, it's going to clean that garbage that's been stuck to the outside of my house. I'm going to come out strong. I'm going to come out looking good. And it's going to be to the glory of God. For we have this treasure, the Bible says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory, that the glory may be of God and not man. If you believe that, take the next 30 seconds and give him a loud praise. Hallelujah. We do not serve a weak God, we serve a great God. And it's our responsibility to push in, draw near to God, so that we can, Romans 8:29, so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus, so that it's not about us anymore. Wherever you walk, I'm speaking to somebody. I decree over your life a stronger anointing. If it can double on Elisha from Elijah, your anointing can increase. And I speak an increased anointing on your life today, that wherever you go, you are ushering in, you are bringing in the manifestation of the presence of God. It doesn't mean you have to be rude or weird. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just simply obey and watch God. Simply obey and watch God. Simply obey and watch God do what only God can do. When the prophet said it's time for the famine to cease and the rain that's been held up because of his command, and he said it's time for the rain to come, he sent his servant, now go look. What was he looking for? He was looking for the physical manifestation of a spiritual direction, because he understood the principle of the kingdom. The moment he spoke it, it was established. It was done. When you understand the power of your words, and we don't have a time to do a whole message on that, but when you understand the power of the word of God in your mouth in alignment of the authority of what God's given you, not over your neighbor's life, over your life. When you understand the power of the word, then you understand the moment it is spoken, decree a thing, it is established. That means it is done. Abraham believed God so that he could become. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. The moment it's been established, it is completed. Mark 11:23-24, believe that you have received him and you will have it. You have to understand, in the realm of God, it has been established. And the prophet said, rain come. And then he said to his servant, I want you to go out and look. Look for what? I want you to look for the reaction to what I spoke in the realm of the spirit. You might not understand it, but go anyway. And he came back and said, I don't see anything. The prophet didn't pray again, the Bible says. The prophet didn't have to fast. He had already established it. So what did he tell him to do? Go back and look again. Say, look again. Look to your neighbor and say, look again. Sometimes we are praying 20 different ways, 20 different times, instead of understanding the authority and the word of God that's spoken out of your mouth. It's the two-edged sword. It's the mouth of Jesus, Revelation said. He came to defeat his enemies with a two-edged sword that proceeded from his mouth, which means he spoke it. How do you find somebody that all they have to do is speak a word and you're defeated? That's an intimidating, terrifying tactic by the enemy. In the mind of the enemy, he doesn't want you to know the power of God's word, because all you have to do is not call 10 people and do all these things. All you have to do is take the revelation of the word, the sword of the spirit that's in your heart, and begin to speak it. And the moment you speak it, it's already done. And he didn't have to say, oh, let's try again. Oh, I guess it didn't work. No, he knew it was working. working. He knew it had already been established in the heavenlies. And I'm telling you, there's things that you have prayed for that you haven't seen yet. I'm telling you, Hebrews 6:12, the Bible says that we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. But it doesn't mean it hasn't been done. You just haven't seen it with the senses yet. I'm talking to somebody today. I don't know who you are, but I know one thing. The moment you prayed, he heard that prayer and he answered that prayer. And you got to understand to celebrate they answered that prayer. That's why you give God thanks with when you're praying. And the peace of God which exceeds your understanding will guard your heart and mind. Why? Because you have an understanding. The moment I asked him, I can have confidence that he has heard it, because I know I'm asking, the Bible says, with alignment with the will of God, which is the word of God. Therefore, you can be bold. You can be confident. What yet is established, say, it's done. He told him, go back and look again. I'm talking to somebody. What you've been praying for, it's done. You don't need to pray for it 20 more different ways. You don't need to read 10 more different books. You don't need to stress out anymore. You need to rest in the reality of the truth that what he said he meant, and what he meant he said. Sit back and say, thank you, Father. It's done. Now I'm going to look again. And he came back the second time and said, it's not out there. I don't see anything. The prophet didn't say, two times. It didn't work this time. Maybe something's wrong. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I should try something different. Maybe I should strike a stone. That's what Moses, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should find somebody else, and maybe I should get some. No, he didn't. He said, go look again. When you know it's been done in the spirit, because you have the peace of God on the inside of you, it's not a matter of trying to pray again. It's a matter about celebrating again. And every time the devil tries to get you to jump through a hoop to accomplish it, it's his tactic to get you into fear and not in faith. You can say, I don't need to do anymore because I have it. When I have it, I don't need to do anything to get it. I have it. Believe that you have received. I have it. So when the devil says, oh, you need to do five more things, say, nope, I just do what the Lord shows me to do. I'm walking it out, and when I don't know what to do, I'm just going to keep praising his name. I'm going to give thanks unto him with thanksgiving, the Bible says. I'm going to thank him. Father, I thank you that healing belongs to me. I thank you I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I thank you, Psalms 1:3, everything I put my hand to is blessed to the Lord. I thank you, you're my Jehovah Jireh, the God who's provided. I thank you, you're my Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. For 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I was healed. Was. That means it's past tense, already completed in the cross of Calvary. I can stand up and give God thanks, not because I see it, but because I know it. And when I know it, I can just look. It's coming. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. It's mine. It's mine. And I'm just accessing. If you believe that, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How God anointed. Hallelujah. I love the atmosphere of the presence of God. I'm telling you, the presence of God, great power. Say great power. Church, I'm telling you, we're going to move into a season, and it's not going to be for everybody, but it'll be for who believe it. We're going to begin to see God do some, and we've already begun to see the beginning phases of it. Not just seeing your prayers answered. We believe in laying hands on the sick, and they'll recover. But I also, there's another level. They would just get in the shadow of Peter, and they would get healed. That's another level. That's a whole nother level. Can you imagine where you walk into a room that you have such authority that people realize, just get near them, you're going to feel better. Get near them, you're not going to be tormented by the devil anymore. Just get near them and you're going to feel strength come into your life. Dr. Rob, I speak over your life right now in the name of Jesus. I call the alignment and order of heaven over your life and over your ministry and over your career. And that every time you lay your hands on people, they'll not only see the physical method of science, but they'll also begin to experience a supernatural blessing of God through your hands. As you begin to not only make an adjustment, you'll also begin to have words in due season that would comfort, guide, and empower people to be delivered from the enemy when there is a spiritual connection of the enemy against their body, in Jesus' name. If you want that too, you can receive it by faith. Hallelujah. But there's even a greater level. There's times that Jesus didn't touch them. He didn't even ascend them. He just spoke without them even being there. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, I got a child at home that's sick. I'll come. You don't even need to come. All you need to do is speak the word only, and my child will be. What was he doing? He was demonstrating methods are not the dictate of power. God can use you differently. God can do it differently as long as it's alignment with the word. And we're stepping in a season. We've had people that get touched by God and even get ministered to and healed just by walking through the hallways during a service. Why? Because what God is about to do in these last days, and we are in the last of the last days. We're getting ready to do a series on the last days this summer in June. But I believe it's important that what we're doing here, because most people, without the anointing of God, you can be intimidated what's ahead, because what the enemy's meant for evil, God's going to turn for good. And what is dark in the world in the minds of the natural person, it will be an opportunity in the minds of those who are spiritually thinking. For carnal mind, carnal thinking brings death, but spiritual thinking brings life and peace. And for some saying, oh, it's getting so bad out there. Some people are going to rise up and say, great, they'll be able to see the distance of the light stronger. When it's darker, they can see the lights brighter, and people will come. And I'm telling you, people are going to start coming to the kingdom like we've never seen before. And it'll be in such a way that no preacher, no full-time minister, no person will take credit for it. It will not be might, it'll not be by power, but it'll be by the Spirit of God. We are moving into a season of supernatural demonstration, not to be weird, not goofy people, not people hallucinating, not people with great imagination, but a demonstration of God in your life, through your life, in a powerful way. If you want to receive that shout, it's mine. Give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power. And he went about, you have to excuse me, I enjoy being here with you. Sometimes I'll stretch a little longer because I'm like, Lord, I'm loving hanging with these people. With great power, and he went around doing good. He went, say he went. He went. We can't wait for everybody to walk past us. Right. I believe God wants me to pray for people. Well, go do something. Well, that's not, I believe God's called me into full-time ministry. Can I get in the pulpit and preach? You're not even volunteering. You got to start serving somewhere. Well, you understand God's really called me for great things. Well, you need to start a thing before you get into the great thing. You got to be faithful in the little before you be faithful in much. But some of us are waiting for God to bring revival to us. Some of us are waiting for God to bring the people to us. Sometimes you got to just get out in the world and say, God, I'm available to you to be used by you. I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to fake it or make it. I'm not going to blow smoke. I am just going to be real. You show me, speak to me, so I know it's clearly your opportunity, and I'm going to obey. Amen. He didn't stay in a house and say, everybody show up here. He said, let's go. And I'm thankful for this house. I'm thankful for this building we can celebrate. But it doesn't stop here. It only starts here every week. You're supposed to come, celebrate God, come together, be energized by the word of God, the anointing of God. You hear me? Come to that place, and then go out into the highways and byways and make a difference. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Hope Church will not be your dealer, and God is not your drug. Our goal is not for you to crawl in so you can dance out and say, ooh, that was great. And then you go back out living like the world so you get your teeth knocked out of you. Am I talking to somebody? If I am, point to the person next to you. It's all okay. God intended for you to drag through Monday through Saturday struggling so that you can come on Sunday to get victory and then walk back out. So I can't wait till Sunday. I'm really needing Jesus. But get Jesus right where you're at. He's never left you nor forsake you. And part of our problems is that we think that the Holy Spirit is all about making us feel good and comfortable today. There's something happens when you get your eyes off yourself and say, God, use me to help somebody else. Who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Because God was with him. Next verse in closing, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And if you're new, when I say in closing, I'm just one of many. Ephesians 2. I'm making myself laugh today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That roast is already burnt. Don't worry about it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his work. We are God's masterpiece. Workmanship of King James. We are God's masterpiece. Wow, did you realize that you really are something special? He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do the good things he had planned for us long ago. You're not here by accident. You're a masterpiece of God. Right now, it might look like, I don't understand that. Have you ever watched someone paint? And you're like, I don't get it. I used to watch those people on TV paint. It's a great way to take a nap. That or golf. Turn that on. You're snoozing in 5 minutes. I'm telling you, it's just. And now we're going to add a little tree right here. I've watched those people paint, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't see it. And then all of a sudden, you have that moment of, I get it. There's times you might look at your life and say, I don't get it. I don't see it. Don't let the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and clean off stuff that shouldn't be there. Add stuff that should be your masterpiece. Say, I'm a masterpiece. Come on, look at your spouse and say, I'm a masterpiece. Treat me totally different than you have been. So that you can do, I don't know if I just stirred the pot for somebody, but it's a happy Mother's Day anyway. So we can do the good things He planned long ago. Do you know He has great things planned for you? Amen. Long ago, long ago, long ago. And one of the things He's called us to do is not just do good things. The purpose of that, last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Notice this. And has given us, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Has given us the ministry, not just full-time ministers, all of us are ministers. Every one of us has given you the ministry to reconnect people to God. One translation basically says this way, that you can go to people in their sin and saying, be reconciled, be reconnected to God. But I'm in sin. But Jesus paid for that. Right. Now, when you get saved, it doesn't mean that you keep living in sin. That just disconnects you from God. But people that are already disconnected from God, the Bible says, God did not send Jesus to condemn the world. They were already condemned. Right. He sent Jesus to get them away from that, free them from that, pay the price so they don't have to deal with that, so they can be free from that torment and that bondage. So that we can walk to somebody and say, listen, I see the life. Is it working for you? Most of them will be honest, and they'll be like, no. You can be connected to God and have that sin dealt with, have that torment removed, have that guilty conscience gone, have a clean conscience with God when you lay your head on your pillow, knowing that everything's right between you and Jesus. But I've done so much. He's already paid for it. All you have to do is receive it. What a great opportunity to reconnect people to the potential that God has for them that's lined up with the Word of God. Wherever the enemy is working their life, as a child of God, it's not your power, and you don't decide, you let the Lord show you. You could be part of that message of saying, you don't have to live with that. You can be reconnected to God in that area. You know what hurts a lot of people in the church world is, as I study, not to go too long in this, as I've studied different denominations, you know, like every denomination really has something very valid and important. It's like a great brick in the wall that we need. But there's also challenges. Don't matter who they are. Doesn't matter who they are. In some circles, they're so into receiving the things of the Spirit, receiving revelation, which is important. But what hinders them is we stop short of that. And we get our lives where our head is so full of knowledge, but we don't ever release what God's doing in our life. Peter said, silver and gold have I not, none, but what I have, I give to you. Genesis 12:2, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. God wants you to receive His presence. He wants you to have a fresh touch. David said, I'll be anointed with a fresh oil. He wants you to get excited about the rhema, the revelation of the Word that comes into your heart. But He doesn't want you to keep it, hold it to yourself and say, man, I'm doing so well. He wants you to do well, be a blessing, and release it to somebody else. Amen. You're not called to everybody, but you're called to somebody. And when you learn to release it, guess what? It's going to come back for what you sow, you shall reap. It'll come back increased in your life in a way that blow your mind. A lot of people, when they get to the point of their life, the spiritual walk with God becomes dry, check it out behind the scenes, and you'll find that they've been working hard to get everything to come to them, but not working hard to let it go through them. When Job prayed for his friends, God turned But Pastor, I don't know everything. Nobody does. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. I got some issues I deal with. Everybody is. Yep. It's called life. Doesn't mean you deal with battles all the time, but battles are a part of life. But since when do we allow the attack of an enemy to detour us from the direction of God? Because God wants us to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm available to you. And I want to see people reconnect with God. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus, I'm not asking you to join a church or denomination or religion. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? If you don't know him that way, it's not about being a better person or doing a bunch of good to-dos, or because good people don't make it to heaven. Forgiven people make it to heaven. This is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity right now. You're like, Pastor, I'm talking to three people, right? Three groups of people. Number one, people that never heard the gospel, that God sent his son Jesus to live a sinless life, to die on the cross for your sins, and on the third day was buried and rose, on the third day rose again for you. And he paid the price of your sin. Number two, people that used to have a walk with God, but for whatever reason allowed things of this world to separate them from God, and they know their heart's not right. Or number three, people that have prayed the prayer, but you're not too sure. You still have questions and doubts if Jesus is real in your life. You're not too sure if you're saved. If any of those three are you, I want you to pray this next prayer. Let it come from your heart. This is between you and God. We're here to celebrate with you. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles. Pray this prayer with me. Say, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I ask you right now for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. I receive salvation today. Thank you for being my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Shout, I'm saved. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you prayed that prayer, we're not here to embarrass you, but we're here to celebrate you. But I want to speak a blessing over your life. I believe in the last days, as it gets harder out there in the world to pull you and tug you and get you to walk away from God, that we need that anointing, that strength of God. Paul talked about praying for people that God would strengthen them with might by his spirit in the inner person, inner man. Why? So that we can live the life that God wants us to live, just not on a celebration Sunday, but in the routine of Monday and Tuesday. And so if you prayed that prayer, at the count of three, I want you to lift your hands where you're at. We're not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. Say, I prayed that prayer with you, Pastor, just so I know who I was praying with. One, two, three. Who was I praying with? Lift your hand if you prayed that prayer. Meant business. I see that hand. One, second hand, third hand. Anybody else? Fourth hand. Put it up as high as you can. Fifth hand. God bless you. Sixth hand. God bless you. Seventh hand. Go ahead. Put it up as high as you can. Eight, nine, God bless you. Here's what I want you to do, because with the crowd, it's harder for me to see, but I'm going to ask you to take that next step of standing. You don't have to come down here, but if you prayed that prayer and meant business, you're like, Pastor, I don't like to stand in front of people I don't know. I get it. But you know, as hard as that is, how hard is it going to be to stand for Jesus out in the world when they're not celebrating Jesus? So if you mean business with God and you prayed that prayer and say, I just gave my heart to the Lord, if any of the three, and you said, I've just recommitted, I just got saved first time, or I know for sure, I want you, the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand to your feet, right? I'm going to pray for you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to look at me real quick. Stay standing. First of all, let me say welcome to the family of God. First time or coming back, heaven is celebrating. Amen. Let me, a couple instructions. Number two, let me tell you, we're here for you, not to control your life. I don't do that. I don't have a computer fast enough to control people's lives. We just provide a table, and it's up to you to choose to be involved, be a part. We'll usually tell people three things. One, get a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll hook you up with one or show you how to get one. There's free ones online, but if you're not into that, we'll put a free Bible in your hands. Number two, get a church. You need to be a part of this church. Don't just show up. You know, the average attendance of the average Christian across the United States is 1 out of 5 weeks. And I'm telling you, where we're going in the world, those people are going to fall off quick. You have to make God a priority. We want God to make us a priority, but we don't want to make him a priority. So be involved in the church. Number three, have a cause. You say, what kind of cause? Let God show you, but he'll bring people in your life that he wants you to tell about Jesus, invite him to church, whatever it might be. You're not called to everybody, but he'll show you. He'll stir in your heart. You'll just feel that tug of talk to them, what I'm doing in your life, because they need Jesus too. Amen. Now, I just want to speak a blessing over your life. Church, stretch your hands toward him. Father, I thank you for every person that's saved. We claim them for the kingdom of God, just not for the day, but for eternity. And I thank you, Father, one day we'll all be in heaven and I'll see each one of them again in heaven. But Father, right now, we sanctify them by the blood of Jesus. I curse them by the enemy's tactics that would war against their mind or their heart. Any and every evil relationship that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, we curse and break it. Send the right people in their life to be their friend and support. Every evil word that's been spoken as a label over their life, we curse and bind it. And we set them free from it so that they can serve you. By the blood of Jesus, your word says, Father God, that they can have the very painful past of their sins and their hurts be removed so they can serve the living God. So right now I pray for a blessing over their life. Strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner person so that as they leave today, they'll know, they'll have a strength in their will to serve you even against temptation or opposition. And we give you praise, Lord Jesus. And everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.